Greetings in the precious name of Jesus. Welcome to each one present. For a text this morning, I have a number of verses out of a number of different chapters that I believe are all related directly to the thoughts of this morning and lay a foundation for that. You can open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Verse 19 and 20. Jesus speaking, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal." Turn ahead to Matthew chapter 10. And verse 42, Matthew 10, and verse 42. "And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward." A few more pages ahead to Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19 and verse 16. "And behold, one came and said unto Jesus, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He saith unto him, Which? Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up, what lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions." Then turn ahead to the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 14. And verse 12. Luke 14 and verse 12. "Then said Jesus also to him that bade him." No, I shouldn't read it that way. That pronoun is not Jesus. "Then said he also to him that bade him." Now we have Jesus speaking. "When thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again, and a recompense be made thee. But when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind, and thou shalt be blessed. For they cannot recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just." And one more, Luke chapter 12 and verse 33. Luke chapter 12 and verse 33. Jesus speaking, sell that ye have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. My title this morning is Treasures in Heaven. And all of these verses that I read to you referred to the treasures in heaven. Some directly with those words, some with other words. Go back to Matthew chapter 6, the first passage that we read. Matthew chapter 6. We read verse 19 and 20. Verse 19 tells us what not to do. We're focusing on treasures in heaven this morning. So we're looking at verse 20 especially, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. How many of you know what treasures in heaven are? We're going to endeavor to answer that question in at least in part this morning, but hopefully whet your appetite to keep thinking about what they are. What are the treasures in heaven that he's talking about here? We understand the treasures quite well that we're not supposed to lay up, that he says in verse 19. We understand what treasures are here in this world. Especially it's easy for us to understand them when we see other men and women that have them and we don't. The treasures of this world. The treasures of this world. We know what they are. They are many. But what are the treasures in heaven? What are the treasures in heaven? Certainly we could say that one of the treasures of heaven is simply to be there. And the gospel story as it is portrayed to us in the gospel, the work of Jesus in the life of a sinner, is a treasure in itself. And there are many spiritual treasures in heaven. And I'm sure that these verses that I read you could all be spiritualized and put into that sense. But my focus this morning is not in spiritualizing them, but rather thinking exactly what Jesus meant by treasures in heaven. What did Jesus mean by that? Matthew 10, we read verse 42. This talks about giving a drink of cold water to a little one. And it says that in the kingdom of God, in the ages to come, you'll be rewarded for doing that. That's what that verse says. You'll be rewarded for doing that. And we look at that verse and we know there are many, many ways to give cups of cold water. And I hope that in the last 2 weeks you can point back somewhere in your life where you gave someone a cup of cold water. There are many, many ways to do that. And I would like to recognize that I believe that God sees every time you give a cup of cold water. And so if you can think of a time when you blessed someone else, you took a little bit of your time, you took a little bit of your resources, and you blessed someone that was discouraged on the journey of life, you blessed someone that was tired in the physical rounds of duty, and you gave them a cup of cold water, I would like to assure you that God saw you do it. God saw you do it. Because here he says that you're going to be rewarded for it. So the treasures in heaven are rewards. Treasures in heaven are rewards. Matthew 19. We read the story of the rich young ruler. You've had this story read many times to you. And I would especially like to pick out verse 21. This young man wanted something more than what he had. Good master, what good things shall I do that I may have eternal life? Jesus took him back to the Old Testament law. Jesus didn't tell him he needed to be born again. Jesus didn't tell him he needed to confess his sins. Jesus didn't tell him that he needed to repent. Jesus had the advantage of knowing each individual who came to him and understanding their needs much better than we do. Perhaps that's why he went where he did with this passage. But if you had never read this story before, wouldn't it be strange to think that Jesus goes here in verse 21, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell what thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. What is treasure in heaven? What did that mean for this man? He chose to not take the treasure in heaven. It costs too much, he said. I won't. But what would he have gotten? What would that treasure have looked like? In the same passage, verse 29, this is after Peter and the disciples had talked a little bit, and then Jesus said something else. Finalizing what he had said before, I'll start at verse 28. Matthew 19, verse 28. And Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for not my name's sake, shall receive an hundredfold, and shall inherit everlasting life. That phrase in verse 29, and shall receive an hundredfold. I believe that's synonymous to the treasures in heaven. So what's he saying in this verse? If you're willing to forsake the houses that you live in, the lands that you live in, if you're willing to forsake your father or your mother, or your wife, or your own children. If the circumstances of life bring it to you that in order to honor me for my name's sake, you're willing to give up one of those things, or all of them, in heaven you will receive a hundredfold reward. Now, what's a hundredfold? Well, if you take it to dollars and cents today, it means that if you gave up a dollar, you'll get 100, right? And if you gave up 100 acres, you'll get 1,000 acres. A hundredfold. In the life to come, a hundredfold. Luke 14. I'm going back over what we read earlier as a text, but these verses are worth considering. Luke 14. Here we have the story that Jesus gave. And the disciples and the people of his culture apparently did just like we do today. When we make a dinner or a supper or a feast, we like to call our friends. We like to call our church families. We like to call rich people to come. Because we know that if we're their friends, they'll probably invite us back. And so it won't be a sacrifice at all, because I'll be paid back. I'll be paid back. That's humanly the way we think. That's what we like. But Jesus said, no, you pick out the poor. When you make a feast, you pick out the poor. You pick out the people who you know could never make a feast like you have, and you invite them. And you invite the blind and the maimed and the halt, people that take a lot of patience. You invite them. And if you do that, verse 14, you will be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. When's that? Well, at the end of time. At the end of time, when you meet me, the righteous judge, you will be recompensed for doing that. So if it costs you extra to do that again and again as you go through life and you never get rewarded, there's coming a time when you're going to get rewarded for what you did, recompensed at the resurrection. And back to Luke 12. Here it talks about bags which wax not old, and I don't know that I have a very good answer for how that fits with the treasure in the heavens, but he has them tucked so tightly together that I'm sure they are together. Sell that ye have, give alms, provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not. Where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. We know that if we have treasures here on this life, we all have some treasures this morning that are precious to us. And sometimes we're fearful about them, especially if they have a lot of high value. Then we start fearing, what would I do if somebody stole it? What would I do if it was gone? And that fear is always upon the face of human mankind because it's not in our control to take care of it. It's hard to protect it. But the treasures in heaven are protected. They can't be stolen. They can't deteriorate or waste away. Treasures in the heavens. How much time have I spent thinking about treasures in the heaven? What are they? How do we lay them up? Jesus commanded us to do that. We lay up treasures in heaven. In order to understand, I believe we must understand something else. And that is that in this world, God owns everything, and we are just stewards. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Certainly, the earth, we believe God created and made it, so it is His. And the fullness thereof, everything that you see, all life, everything upon the face of the earth is God's. And the world and all the people that are in it are God's. God is the ultimate owner of it all. Psalm 50, verse 10. For every beast of the forest is mine, and a cattle upon 1,000 hills. God says they're all mine. They're all mine. Haggai chapter 2, the silver is mine. The gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. God is the owner. Turn to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. Thank you, Brother Kyle, for reading the parallel passage in Matthew. And I think we're going to go ahead and read it because it is different here in the book of Luke. And so you just had the other one read to you. You can think about what this one says and the differences. They're very similar. This is a parable. But I believe it's very relevant to thinking about treasures in heaven and God being the owner. Luke chapter 19, verse 12. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him, saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he had returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. And he saith unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest not thou my money unto the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury. And he said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound, and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. But notice they objected, and they said unto him, Lord, he already has 10 pounds. Jesus says, for I say unto you, that unto every one which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away from him. But those mine enemies, which would not that I should reign over them, bring them hither and slay them before me. And when he had thus spoken, he went before ascending up to Jerusalem. What all did Jesus want us to learn from this parable? I don't know. That's some of the beauty of parables. But we can conclude some things. The kingdom that this man went to establish, he went into a far country to establish the kingdom, is very clearly a parallel of what Jesus did when he ascended back into heaven and went back to establish a kingdom for us. And he's coming back just like this man did someday. But before he left, he gave some directions. And in this situation, he gave men money, different amounts to different men, talents. And then he said, I'm going to come back, but you occupy till I come. Occupy till I come. This morning, everything you own has been given you by God. We tend, especially in our American society, to forget that. But it's true. You don't have anything that God didn't give you. Whether you own land, or house, or a vehicle, or whether you own cattle, or grain and hay, or whether you own a vegetable garden, your clothing, your children, your wife, the money in your wallet, and the money in your savings, you wouldn't have any of it if it was not for God. So everything you own has been given you by God. Just as he gave the men in this parable some things, he gave you and I some things to go through life with. And the things that he gave me are not the same as the things he gave you. Very true. Financially, spiritually, physically, however you want to apply them. We are not all given the same things, but we were all given something. The disciples were all given something, and Jesus said, I'm going back. Occupy till I come. Occupy till I come. And we're in that stage today, you and I, where Jesus is still saying, occupy till I come. How good have I been occupying? God is the owner of all, and I am just the tenant. Someday he will come back, just like this man in the story, and he will hold you and I accountable, and he will ask us, what did you gain by trading? What did you gain by trading? Certainly, we could spiritualize this whole story and it would have a powerful impact. And you can do that in your minds. But we can also simply take it that the possessions and the wealth and the money that I have, God has given me. And God has a right to come back and say, what have you gained by trading? And God will do that. God cares about how we view our possessions, what we do with our money. God cares about that. He notices. What are treasures in heaven? Let's turn to Luke 12. Sometimes if we look at illustrations of what they are not, it helps us to understand better what they are. Luke chapter 12, we have a story, a very familiar story. But think about this in relation to treasures in heaven. Luke chapter 12, verse 16, another parable. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall these things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Notice in this story the man's emphasis, my fruit, my barns, my goods. And we all have a list like that too. My things. These are my things. But God says, tonight you're going to die. And after you're dead, who are these things going to belong to? That's a relevant question for us today. Who are they going to belong to when I'm gone? We can learn from this story, I believe, that laying up treasures for ourselves and laying up treasure in heaven are two opposites. And it's very difficult to do the one while you're doing the other. This man was laying up treasures for himself. He was going to relax. He had had a good life. He had a good year. There was plenty. He was concerned about himself. He was laying up treasures for himself instead of making sure that he was rich toward God, laying up treasures in heaven. Mark chapter 12, another story, another little scene that we have. Mark chapter 12. Beginning of verse 41. And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which made a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples, and saith unto them, verily, I say unto you that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. Notice Jesus took the time to sit and behold the giving at the sanctuary. He sat down and he watched. And I'm told that in Jesus' day, the giving was the giving in the treasury was quite different than what we're used to today. It was up front where everyone could see. And you took your coins. There wasn't paper money. There wasn't offering envelopes. There was coins. Maybe you children can tell me something about coins that's different than paper money. What's different about coins? Especially if you throw them somewhere. They make a lot of noise. And that's what the rich men did in Jesus' day. The chest that they threw it into was metal, and it made a lot of noise. And they came up and they threw it in. And the more they threw it in, the more it clattered. And Jesus sat and watched that. And here came this widow, and it just went pick, pick. And that was it. The scripture does not say that this woman, the word treasure in heaven is not found in this passage or any other parallel, but to me, I am sure that Jesus would have said, yes, she laid up treasure in heaven by casting in those two mites. Because he saw that. And she was going to be recompensed for what she did because she had thrown in all of her living. I think that simply means that she didn't have food for tomorrow. She was living hand to mouth, a very different culture than what we're used to today. But she threw in only what she had. Tomorrow, in order to get a meal, she had to go out and work first before she had enough for a meal, because all she had was the two mites and she threw them in. And Jesus praised her. Our culture is vastly different than that, I understand. But let's be careful in the journey of life to never discourage a poor person from giving. Because that's how they lay treasure up in heaven, just like the rest of us who are more wealthy. Jesus still sits by the treasury and watches the offering basket go around in our congregation, I believe. He still observes what's going on. And if you only have two mites and you throw them in, he sees. Jesus also understands motives. He understands if we are negligent in our giving. He understands and sees if we are careful in our giving. He understands and sees if we are reluctant to give. And he understands if we give with a ready mind, willingly, with the faith that he can multiply it. And that he will sustain us. He also understands, Jesus does, circumstances. Circumstances of different countries are different. He watches the offering plate in third world countries too. And he understands the circumstances that surround that. And I believe that out of that grows a portion of the treasures in heaven. Matthew chapter 25. I'm not implying by reading this passage along with this subject that treasures in heaven are given out to those who have not been born again, to those who have not lived righteous lives. And yet it's amazing to me that here in this passage, Matthew chapter 25, verse 31, the description of the last day. Matthew 25, verse 31, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Inherit the kingdom. That's heavenly rewards. Inherit the kingdom for I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you cared for me. I was naked without clothing and you clothed me. I was sick and you cared and came and tried to nurse me back to health. I was in prison and you came to me and tried to encourage me in my plight. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. And the account goes on repeating the same thing about the wicked, how they had failed to feed the hungry and the thirsty, the stranger and the naked, and the sick and the prisoners. Treasures in heaven. How do we lay them up? How do we use our possessions, our monetary possessions, that are God's, that He has given us? How do we use them to gain treasures in heaven? Remember the story of Esther and Mordecai, and how that the Jews were going to be slaughtered. Esther was the queen, and Mordecai said she needed to go before the king and plead for her people. She sent back the message of how dangerous it was, and Mordecai knew how dangerous it was. And he sent back, Who knows whether thou art comest to the kingdom for such a time as this? And Esther's response was, I'll go. And if I perish, I perish. We are a people living in the midst of a culture that has abundance. The poorest of us here today are rich in the eyes of over half of the population of the world. Perhaps God has brought us to this abundance for such a time as this. How can I lay treasures up in heaven? And when there are treasures laid up in heaven, it affects the joys of my heart here on earth. As you go this week and in coming weeks and months, think about the needs around you and think about the fact that if you can help with a cup of cold water to fill that need, that God will see. Think about that letter that you got in the mailbox last Sunday that begged for families in Honduras. And think about that if you were willing to give up your land and your position in Missouri and go there to serve and help with the need that is there, of what a blessing that could be. Think about how God would reimburse for any inconvenience that it would be to you. Think about war-torn countries like Ukraine and open up your wallet. Maybe God put you here for such a time as this. For such a time as this. Think about the needs of busy mothers in this congregation. Maybe God put you here for such a time as this. Think about needs of your friends. You know what they are. You have close friends. You understand the needs of others. Maybe God made you their friend for such a time as this. Shall we kneel for prayer?